Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It's time to look to the Word of God. The title today is The Not-So-Silent Years. So we'll gain some understanding of that as we move along. This is Christmas week, and I feel the Word of the Lord in my heart out of Micah chapter 5. So we're going to read Micah chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. The prophecy of Bethlehem is in this portion, but also many other things and an emphasis that the Holy Spirit wants to bring today. Micah, prophesying to Judah, the people of God, said, "Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops." Calls the people of God daughter of troops. He's alerting them. He's calling them to an army spirit, warfare spirit. Then he says, "He hath laid siege against us," a siege coming against them. "They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." There's going to be a battle, Micah said. Siege has come, you'll be smitten. Verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he will give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth," until the time that she travails who gives birth. "Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand," talking about our great Lord Jesus, "he shall stand and feed in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth." The prophecy of Jesus Christ coming out of the little town of Bethlehem, extending his shepherd kingship rule to all the nations of the earth. How many are thankful we're at the ends of the earth, but the Lord has reached us? He's come by his shepherding spirit, by his counsel, and unto us a son is born and a child has been given, a son is given. In verses 1 to 2 again, "Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of you will come forth the one who will be ruler in Israel, the one whose goings have been from of old, from everlasting." Prophecy of Jesus Christ. Micah was prophesying 700 BC, seven centuries before the coming of Christ, and he pinpointed the birthplace of Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. The very place, and everyone knew that would read the scriptures, they knew where Jesus Christ would be born. And God had a special place for Bethlehem, Judah, to protect it. When Micah was prophesying, the Assyrian army was laying siege against the little town of Bethlehem, against the land of Judah and Jerusalem. Bethlehem, just 6 miles south of ancient city of Jerusalem. And the Assyrian Empire was coming with an assault and an advance. And Micah alerted the people. He said, he called them daughter of troops. He said, there's going to be a warfare. There's going to be an assault against this land, but God is going to protect this land because he's got this land for a purpose, that Messiah is going to come from this land of Israel, and he's going to be born in the little town of Bethlehem. God says, I'm going to protect this land. I'm going to protect Judah and Jerusalem. I'm going to protect Bethlehem until he comes forth. He's going to come out of this little town. And we understand as we look in the scriptures that there was an advance of the Assyrian army against Judah and against Bethlehem, the Sennacherib invasion of 701 BC. And it's true that the judge of Israel was smitten on the cheek. Now these words are applied to the Lord Jesus in his interrogation and in the sufferings of the cross, that he was smitten upon the cheek with a rod. But in first order, this in Micah's prophecy, it speaks of the Assyrians smiting the land of Judah, smiting Bethlehem. But all they could do was win a measure of victory. It was like a rod on the cheek. A rod on the cheek is painful. It hurts for the moment, but it's not fatal. It's not destructive. And God says, even though there's going to be a strike on the cheek of this nation by the Assyrian army, I'm going to protect my land, and I'm going to protect Bethlehem, Judah, because from it will come he who is ruler over all nations of the world. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. Then verse 3 of Micah 5, he says, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travails brings forth birth. Micah said, God is going to give up this land until the time that she who travails brings forth and births the Son of God and births forth the move of God. He will give them up. Micah said, this land will never rise to its former glory as in the days of David and the other kings that were godly after David. Micah says, this land will never stand in that golden age again, but it will be downtrodden by the nations until she that travails brings forth. Until she that travails in childbirth, in labor, brings forth. And as we read the history and review the history of Israel and Judah in the Old Testament, we know how true this word of Micah was. Just a few years earlier, before this prophecy, the northern kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrian captivity, the Assyrian Empire, with the fall of their capital, Samaria, in 722 BC. And it would just be a little over a century that the southern kingdom of Judah as well, with Jerusalem and Bethlehem, would come under Babylonian captivity and the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. And though Jeremiah prophesied there would be return out of the Babylonian captivity, and there was in the days of Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, yet it was not of the former glory. And despite that visitation in the days of Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, the land of Judah and the land of Israel stayed under the power of Media Persia. And then the world empire of Grecia, beginning with Alexander the Great. And finally, in the first century BC, the Roman occupation, the Roman Empire came to power. And that was the power that was in force when Jesus Christ was born. Micah said, God's going to give them up until the time that she who travails brings forth. The last prophet of the Old Testament, and it's the last book of the Old Testament, was the prophet Malachi, circa 415 BC. And between Malachi and the opening of the next page to the New Testament is what is called the 400 silent years. No prophet, no prophetic voice. The last voice the people heard as a prophet of God was Malachi. Malachi. 400 years went by, and it wasn't until John the Baptist appeared on the banks of the River Jordan and called the nation back to repentance, called it to a baptism of remission of sins. As he preached the gospel and said, prepare the way of the Lord, the Messiah is at hand. It wasn't until then that a voice was heard. 400 silent years, the intertestament period. The intertestament period. Malachi said, at the end of this 400 years, the spirit of Elijah is going to rest upon the people, and they're going to turn back to the Lord, and the Lord is going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Now, he wasn't talking about natural parents, fathers and sons, although we can apply it there, and it's a good message, but he was speaking about a spiritual people, that the heart of the fathers, those that had lived in days gone by, that as a response of the children would be to them, the prophecies and the fulfillment of what God had said in Old Testament days would come true. The prophecies And men and women would take these prophecies and carry them and hold them. The fathers like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Joseph and Daniel and others would carry the word of the Lord. And these young sons now would turn and they would respond and say, we will walk with the Lord. We will prepare our hearts for the living God. 400 silent years, kings and kingdoms rising and falling. The nation of Israel downtrodden, battered and bruised and broken. No nationalistic golden age ever again. And on the surface, that's all you could see. Israel, broken and downtrodden. But if you looked beneath the surface, if you looked under the political strife, if you looked under the popular Christian religion of the day, you would find a people that were tender-hearted toward God. A people that were worshiping. They were seeking the Lord. They were holding to the ancient prophecies. They had Genesis 3:15 in their hearts and in their hands. There will come the seed of the woman that will crush the serpent's head, crush the power of Satan, and bring deliverance from sin. The seed of Abraham is going to come. Shiloh, whose right it is to reign, will come. The Son of David will come. Messiah, the anointed one, will come. The ruler of all ages will come. He'll come out of the land of Bethlehem. And those people held the prophecies, and they prayed, and they called on the Lord. And that's why today in this message, I have entitled it, The Not So Silent Years. The not so silent years, because if you listened carefully and listened closely, you could hear under the surface, you could hear a people travailing and believing God and holding the promises. A people gathering their families close to the presence of God. A people gathering their children close to the Word of God, believing in the promise, believing in the time of fulfillment, believing that Christ would come. Micah said, until the time that she which travails will bring forth. I want to say this morning, prophecy does not fulfill itself. If you have a prophecy, if there's a prophecy on the church, if there's a prophecy on the kingdom of God, prophecy does not fulfill itself. And as men of God has said, God does nothing but in answer to prevailing prayer. God does nothing in our lives. God does nothing in our families. God does nothing in our churches or in the kingdom of God, but in answer to the prevailing prayers of His people. God says, I'm going to give them up until the time that she which travails labors in the word, labors in prayer, has brought forth. Say, well, does that refer to the Virgin Mary laboring to bring forth Jesus Christ in her body? Yes, it does. But it refers to much more than that. It refers to God's holy bride all through Old Testament days. People hidden down under the surface of popular religion and all what was happening in the nation. People crying out to God in their spirits for deliverance, for life, for Messiah, for the Savior of the world to come. Hallelujah. People all through those centuries, the not so silent years, who were travailing and weeping and calling out on the promise of God. And they were cupping their hands around that flame of the living God and protecting it and breathing on it that it would one day burst forth into fire and flame. Hallelujah. 400 not so silent years of people of God praying, fasting, seeking God. And you can read and you can find bits and pieces about them as you look through the Old Testament. But then we open the pages of the New Testament and we find a sample of those people on the pages of the New Testament Christmas story. 8 people that show up in the first few chapters of the book of Luke and Matthew. And they're a sample of what the spirit of the people throughout the Old Testament, that was the remnant, the holy people of God were really like. And so we open up those New Testament passages now, and we can see what God has in a people. We can see the kind of people that bring forth the Savior. We can see the kind of people that travail to bring forth Christ, to bring forth the move of God. And I pray this morning as we look at these people that we would say in our hearts, I want to be like that. I want that Spirit on me. I want to serve the living God in the way these people did. Eight of them on the pages of the New Testament. Zacharias and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, and Simeon and Anna. And I want to look at them quickly this morning. These are the people who are a sample of the kind of people God has hidden away in the earth, bringing forth his purposes and his promises and his life. Zacharias and Elizabeth, the old priest and his wife. Bible says they were well advanced in age, and they had no child. A man and wife that loved one another and loved God with all their heart. They have faced a great disappointment in their life. From the time they got married, they wanted to have children, and no child was born. And that disappointment that was upon their life, that dream that had been broken in their life, they said, "We will cast our broken dream upon the Lord. We will serve the Lord." Some people, when they face disappointment and trial and heartache, pull away from the Lord. This couple said, "We will draw closer to the Lord." And the Bible says they were both righteous and walking in all the commandments and in the ordinances, the religious duties before the Lord, blameless. They were both righteous, not one lagging behind the other, the two walking together in the presence of the Lord. They were so filled with the Word, so filled with the Spirit. When you read their story on the New Testament pages, that prophetic life just would come off their lips in a moment. They were so filled with fire, so filled with the living Word and the prophecies of God in their spirit that it didn't take much, and they could flow out in prophetic utterance and the language of the Scriptures before the Lord. God says, that's the kind of people that I have in the earth to birth my son. Prophetic utterance, fire, people that have disappointment in their life, people that have some broken dreams, but they're serving the Lord with all their heart. I can't tell you this morning how much I respect people of God, fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, that have disappointment in their life. Maybe they have no children. Maybe they've lost children. Maybe their children are prodigal. Maybe their children are dishonoring them. But those people like Zacharias and Elizabeth, and some of you are here this morning, you're found in the house of God and in the prayer rooms with your hands up. You're surrendered. You're crying out to God to heal and deliver and bring life in you. You're part of the travailing company, that holy seed. Hallelujah. People that have disappointment and seek the Lord with all their heart. Mary and Joseph, young Mary, a teenager, mid-teenage years when the angel of the Lord came to her. Mary had kept herself pure, not only saving herself for her husband, but every young virgin and every young maiden in Israel knew the prophecies of the Old Testament that one day God would reach down and he would touch someone that was pure and undefiled, and that they would carry the Christ child and birth him into the earth, for a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And oh, Mary wanted to qualify. She kept her life pure. She didn't want to disqualify herself by any impropriety in her life. And if we want to be used of God and we want to qualify for great purposes of God, then we must keep our lives pure. Doesn't matter if we're young or old, we keep our lives pure so the presence and the power and the hand of the Lord can come upon us. When the angel of the Lord came and called Mary to her purpose, how quickly she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Be it unto me according to your word. No argument, no debate, no strife in her heart against the will of God. I'm willing. Be it unto me according to your word, according to the rhema you've brought to my life. What a tender-hearted young teenage lady this was. The Bible says she was blessed and highly favored. Oh, she was, by the word of the Lord, the call, commission. But the Bible also says she was troubled. She trembled at the word. She was troubled by the word. And if you receive a true word from God, you know you've got both of those actions moving in you. You're blessed and highly favored, but you're troubled. How am I going to bring forth this will of God? Do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to walk before men and women? Do I have what it takes to walk through this world with all its warfare and difficulty and birth and do the will of God? She was blessed and highly favored and troubled. Says, I can't do this on my own. And the Lord said, you're not going to do it on your own. Because the power of the Most High is going to rest on you. The hand of the Lord is going to come upon you. The Holy Spirit is going to breathe life into you. And how willing Mary was. She knew there would be shame and reproach, questions and innuendos, suspicion upon her life. But she was willing to serve the Lord. Joseph. She was a spouse to Joseph. It was an engagement, but in those days, it was a binding engagement that led into the marriage, and she was engaged to Joseph, and they had not been married yet, so they had not come together. And when Joseph found out that she was with child, he was troubled, and he decided to put her away privately. He didn't want to make a public example of her. He could have brought shame and reproach in a public way, but he was a tender-hearted man. The Bible says the desire of a man is his kindness. Proverbs, the desire of a man is his kindness. And God said, I've got Joseph. He's the man I want to raise my son in the earth. He's just. He's kind. That's the kind of person I want raising my son, putting his hand on him and blessing him. It was revealed to Joseph in a dream that Mary was with child by the Holy Spirit, and that this conception was of God, and the Christ child would be born, and how quickly he responded to the Lord. Now, Joseph knew if he married Mary, that there would be a shadow that would hang over his life, his whole life, concerning impropriety with that young maiden. But he too said, let it be unto me according to your word. And he took Mary to be his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, Jesus the Christ. Joseph, willing to face some upheaval in his life. He had a nice, comfortable life in Nazareth, the carpenter. Everything was well. Everything was tidy. And all of a sudden, the call of God came, and there was a new season on his life. And he had to leave Nazareth for a number of years. And he was down in Bethlehem for a time, and he was a fugitive in Egypt because of the threat against the Bethlehem children. But he said, be it unto me according to thy word, a man travailing, a man birthing in this world. Zacharias and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds on the hillsides of Bethlehem that glorious night received the visitation of the Lord. The angelic army showed up to guard the birth of Christ, but they were singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That manifestation, that glorious night sky lit up for those shepherds. And I wonder at it. Why did the Lord take that occupation above every other occupation? Say, well, it was a lowly occupation. There were many lowly occupations. Why did the Lord choose the shepherds to bring that revelation of Christ? And to me, there's only one answer. Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Jesus said, if you love me, take care of my lambs. Take care of the little ones. Take care of the children. Take care of the young disciples and converts. If you love me, feed my sheep. Get involved with my people. You see, God wants a shepherding spirit in us. Not only pastors and leaders who are called to be shepherds, God wants a shepherding spirit in every person where we will lay down our lives for the sheep, and we will care for people, and we will heal people, and we will love people, and we will burden for people. Because shepherds birth life in the earth. Shepherds birth life in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. What kind of people would bring forth the Christ? The shepherds, those who were caring for people, those who were loving people. wise men came from the east. Wise men from the east, from ancient Babylon region, saw a star in the east and came. These wise men were the long line of descendants from the wise men of Babylon. As we read in the days of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were part of the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel was the head of the wise men of Babylon in his day, because the spirit of the holy God was in him, and he had revelation of dreams and visions that no one else had by the Holy Spirit. Wise men from the east, now many centuries later, and they were the brain bank of their civilization. They had all the ancient scrolls. They had all the history of the nations at their availability. And these wise men had the prophecies of the Bible. They had the prophecies of Daniel, obviously. And they knew the prophecy that a star would rise out of Jacob, as was prophesied in Numbers 22. A star would rise out of Jacob, and one day a star appeared in the east where they were, and they knew it was a sign from God that the star had been born, the Christ had been born. They had the ancient prophecies of Daniel, of course, and Daniel predicted accurately within years the birth and coming of Jesus Christ in the natural, in his incarnation. They had those prophecies, and now they came. And they made their way to Bethlehem, for the star appeared again and led them to the place where the Christ child was. Men that searched the scriptures, men that held on to the ancient prophecies, men that held on to the ancient prayers and the groaning and the desire of someone that would come. These were spiritual, godly men. Among the magicians of Babylon and the wise men, yes, there were astrologers, yes, there were soothsayers, but there were also holy, spiritual, godly men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these wise men came to search out the living Christ. It's been said so many times, wise men still seek him. Wise men still seek him. God says those are the kind of people that are going to birth something in the earth. They're going to travail. They're going to birth. And then we come down to the final two in Luke chapter 2. My Simeon and Anna. Glory to God. Two old prayer warriors. Intercessors. People that knew how to travail in the Spirit, fast and pray and seek the Lord. God says, the land's going to be downtrodden. It's going to be broken and bruised until the time that she which travails brings forth. God does nothing but in answer to travailing prayer. God fulfills prophecy through men and women that seek the word of God and seek the kingdom of the Lord. Simeon, an old man now, he'd been praying for many years, maybe from the time he was a child, as the word of the Lord began to root into him, and he began to see the vision of the Lord. You know, when you're a young person, you're growing up, you're increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, but there comes a point where we need to be sons growing up in our youth, and we take responsibility, and we see what the word of God is calling us to, and we see the promises, and we see the prayers, and we see what God wants to birth, and we say, I will be part of that people. I will be a travailing person. I will be a prayer warrior. I will be a worship warrior for the kingdom of God. Oh, Simeon, seeking the Lord. The Bible says he was praying for the consolation of Israel. He was praying for the comfort. He was praying for the help of Israel, it means. I don't know if he had Messiah in mind. I'm sure he did. But he was also praying that somehow the darkness would break. And the Christian religion would break over the nation. And that Judaistic spirit of the scribes and the Pharisees and the waywardness in the heart of people would break. And he was praying for the comfort. He was praying for a visitation. He was praying for a move of God in Israel. And of course, it included the Messiah is going to come. And one day it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death till he had laid his eyes upon the Lord's Christ, upon Jesus himself. What a revelation from the Spirit of God. You don't get revelation like that from the Holy Ghost unless you're a man or woman of prayer, unless you're deep in the counsel of the Holy One, unless you're walking with God in purity, walking with God with all your heart. Reveal to Him, you will not see death till you see the Lord's Christ. Oh, his heart leapt for joy. And I wonder once again, is what you're praying for, is what I'm praying for, is what we're believing God for personally, is it worth God putting his hand upon us and extending our life in the earth to bring forth the fulfillment of the dream of our heart? What an intercessor. Simeon praying. And then there was Anna. Anna, Bible says she was a widow of 84 years of age. She'd lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, 7 years into her marriage, a young lady like everyone else with dreams and hopes and plans, family and life and joy, 7 years into the marriage. Her husband passed away, and Anna had to make a decision. She says, I'm going to take the Lord as my husband. I'm not going to let this break my faith or break my spirit. I'm going to take my broken dream and I'm going to cast myself into the presence of the Lord. And the Bible said she gave herself to fasting and prayer and seeking the Lord. Now at 84 years of age, it says she was daily in the temple, daily with fastings and prayers. And she was praying as well for visitation upon Israel. She was praying that out of Bethlehem, Judah, would come this ruler. Who knew the time? The prophecies said it was close. And she was praying for the redemption of Israel. She was praying for the Redeemer. But it's so beautiful in the Word of God in Luke chapter 2 that as Jesus was in the temple that day with his parents, Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and prophesied over him and blessed him and blessed the parents and ministered over them. 40 days after Jesus' birth, as he came to be dedicated to the Lord as a firstborn son, Anna as well was in the temple, and she came, and in that instant, she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of Christ, spoke of that Christ child to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She spoke of the Christ child to all the people that looked for redemption in Israel, because Anna wasn't alone. Now, I said this cast of eight that I've mentioned, they were sample people. They were sample people of the kind of spirit, the kind of people that God uses to birth the Christ in the earth, to birth moves of God, to advance the kingdom of God. And she spoke to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. I don't know how many there were in Israel, but we get some kind of indication by how many came to be baptized by John 30 years later. But there were those, a few hundred, a few thousand, 10,000. How many were hidden beneath the surface of Israel in that day, calling out on God, yearning, fasting, and praying for Messiah, for redemption, for a move of God? And I wonder today, will God have a people like he did then? Will he have a travailing church in the earth? Will he have a powerful praying church? Will he have a church of intercessors and warriors, people that hold and cling to the prophecies of God and cry out to the living God as we come up to the second coming of Christ? The second advent of the Lord. Will the Lord have a people in the earth of the same spirit of those not so silent years and of the eight that we see on the page of the New Testament? And I know in my heart he will and he does. And how many say this morning, I want to be part of that holy people. I want to be part of that holy people. I want to be that travailing church. I want to be that prayer warrior. I want to learn how to abandon myself in the presence of God and allow the Holy Spirit to groan and pray and birth deliverance and life and salvation through me. Hallelujah. Simeon and Anna, aged, an old man, an old woman. Listen, as you get older, there's no greater fulfillment. There's no greater way that you could spend your life but to give yourself to intercessions, fastings, and prayers, to live with God in His presence like that and birth something for the generation to come. Hallelujah. Let's have the worship team come. People today that carry that spirit. We're coming up to the second coming of the Lord. It's a new time and a new day, and God's looking for a holy people who will bear the words of the covenant and the promise of God. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come. The day of Christ, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting unto, hurrying unto, the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Final prayer in the Bible, Revelation 22, just before John the Beloved signs out with a benediction. The prayer before it is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It's the last prayer of the Bible. It's a wonderful opportunity we have in our time and generation to serve the Lord. As you look at the history of Israel and the coming of Christ and the 2,000 years of New Testament history, we're not disattached from the men and women of bygone years. We stand today in reward. We stand in joy. We stand in the salvation of God because men and women have labored and travailed and clung to prophecies and clung to promises of God in difficult times. We stand today rewarded by God because people endured affliction and persecution and suffering and trial and said, we will not be moved. We believe the word of God above everything else. And today is our opportunity to say, Lord, here I am, be it unto me according to your word. I want to be one of those not so silent people. These are the not so silent years for those who can hear the voice of the Lord and give themselves to the call of God. And I wonder, at this close of the age, as we look to the second coming of Christ, how many prayer warriors, how many people of a travailing, birthing spirit will be in the earth? And my heart leaps because the Holy Spirit is calling us and we can respond and be part of that. How many this morning would say in your heart, there's nothing in this life I want more than to be part of the holy people, the remnant, the true Israel of God, to serve God with all my heart and be involved as a prayer warrior, as one that travails and births in the Spirit and brings life in the earth. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says that the Lord searches the earth for two things. It says He's searching for worshipers, those that will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's in John 4. And in Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 20, it says He's searching for intercessors. those who will make up the gap and stand in the hedge. God's looking for worship warriors. He's looking for intercessors and people who will pour out their lives in prayer and carry the promises of God. This morning, we're here. Let's offer ourselves. Say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. If your prayer life hasn't been developed, you're not an intercessor, you're not a prayer warrior, then ask the Lord to begin to change your heart this morning until the fire of God burns and the scriptures burn in your spirit and the Holy Spirit can begin to pray through you. Pray through you in powerful streams of supplication and utterance. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. This is your opportunity once again. The Holy Spirit is calling. The Bible says, my spirit will not always strive with man. But seek the Lord while he is near. Call upon him while he may be found. This is an opportunity. If you don't know the Lord, don't let this moment go by. Don't harden your heart to the Lord. So I will break in the presence of God. I want to be part of the church of Jesus Christ. Receive eternal life and be with the Lord forever. There may be others this morning, although I want this whole place to be an altar of surrender right now. But you may feel in your heart, I want to separate myself to the Lord. I want to be like a Mary. I want to be like Joseph. I want to be like Zacharias and Elizabeth. I've been hindered. I've been holding back. But this morning, I want to offer myself to the Lord in surrender, a fresh surrender of your life, to carry the travailing spirit, to carry the ministry of the Lord in your heart. If that's you, please slip out from where you are. Make your way down to the front. Spend some time in the presence of the Lord. But as we close out this morning, let everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ in this place surrender and worship and offer ourselves to the Lord. Amen.